It's really good to be with you this morning. Even as saw some of you coming in and recognizing faces and their sense of warmth being back at home here in Glen Cross, some of you I only vaguely remember. Carol and I went to Belgium back in 1991. And some of you were kids back then who now have children. That was 21 years ago, so how time flies. We are very glad to be back with you. Amy and Matthew are back home in Calgary. There's our daughter, Amy. Amy's completed her first year of university at Mount Royal University. She's studying towards her Bachelor of Nursing degree. It's hard work, but she's really happy to be in the nursing program. Amy is working in a personal care home this summer as a recreational assistant, and it's a little bit different than a medical job, but it's giving her some really good experience in a personal care environment. Matthew just finished grade 11 and has been very involved in the music program at the high school. This year he played drums in the concert band, the jazz band, he played drums for the vocal jazz group, and he was part of a five-piece jazz combo. And in fact, Matthew and two of the guys from the combo did about a 45-minute performance at my 50th birthday celebration about a month and a half ago. And so it's really a pleasure seeing him enjoy music so much. Both Amy and Matthew are part of a worship team at our church in Calgary, and quite enjoy that. We want to thank you for praying for us and for supporting us financially as we serve in missions. We very much appreciate your part in our lives over the years, and we want to thank you for that. Well, a young farmer was standing in his field, and he observed a very peculiar cloud formation. And as he looked at the clouds, he thought, well, this is obviously a message from God. The clouds looked like the letters G, P, and C. And he thought, oh, I must go preach Christ. So he immediately went home, and he phoned the church leaders, insisting that he has been called by God to preach. And because of his enthusiasm and his conviction, the leaders agree, yeah, he can preach the sermon the next Sunday. That Sunday, the sermon was long, it was tedious, and virtually incoherent. When it finally ended and the young farmer went and sat beside the deacon who was leading the service, the deacon leaned over and muttered in his ear, well, it seems to me the clouds were saying, go plant corn. Well, I admire this farmer's willingness to step out of his comfort zone, to do what he felt was being asked of him. Not all of us are so eager to try new things. Well, this morning I want to talk about responding to God's call on our lives. Throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, we read of people being called by God to do some very specific things. For example, Noah was called to build an ark. Abraham was called to leave his country. Moses was called to lead his people out of Egypt. Gideon was called to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, not the Mennonites, the Midianites. Elijah was called to confront a wicked king. Jeremiah was called to be God's spokesman in very troubled times. Mary was called to be the mother of the Messiah. Peter and Andrew were called to be fishers of men. Ananias was called to heal Saul, a man responsible for the suffering and death of early believers. Saul became Paul and was called to preach to the Gentiles. The call of God's people, the call of God on these people's lives took different forms, and it was lived out in different ways. one of the most dramatic of those calls was that of Moses. And you remember his history. Moses was rescued as a baby in the Nile River. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. As an adult, he killed an Egyptian man to protect a fellow Hebrew. He fled for his life, worked as a shepherd in the wilderness for many years. And it was after that that God called Moses. Exodus chapter 3, and starting with verse 3 and the verses following, it tells us the story, and it tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses as a blazing fire in a bush. "Amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over and see this." God called to him from the bush, "I am the God of your ancestors. I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Now, you remember how Moses responded to this mission? And I use the word mission because the definition of mission is a specific task with which a person or a group is charged. It's being sent to accomplish an assignment. So Moses was given the mission of leading the Israelites out of Egypt. So Moses replied, "But who am I to appear before Pharaoh? How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I?" Moses wasn't the only one to ask that question. Others too were called by God and given a mission, and many replied with expressions of doubt, fear, or feelings of inadequacy. Gideon said, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my entire family." Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." Many of the calls we just mentioned were unique and often had seemingly impossible objectives. The called ones knew their own inadequacies, and yet each of them chose to follow the call. What is God's call on your life? Now, it's not nearly always as clear as the examples we just mentioned. One young lady told her college professor, "I've always wanted to serve Christ in parts of the world where people have never heard about Jesus. But I've been told that I have to have this inner call from God before I can go. I've never understood what was meant by the call, but I'm sure I haven't had one. Do you think I can still go to the mission field without one of those calls?" Maybe you're a bit like that young lady, unsure of what the call means, unsure about direction in your life. Or, since this is a message about responding to the call of God and I'm a missionary, you're wondering when I make you feel guilty that you're not a missionary. Just forget about that and let's try to understand better what we're talking about when we're talking about the call of God in our lives. Some time ago, a friend gave me a book that he had found very helpful in his life. The book was written by Os Guinness and was called The Call. There we are. Here's Guinness's definition, and it's a bit of a mouthful, but let's see if we can follow along. Calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and dynamism lived out as a response to his summons and service. Now say that quickly. He's saying that too often we miss the main point of God's calling. We're not called first to do something or to go somewhere. We're called first to someone. We're not called first to do special work for God, but to God. Guinness writes that the key to understanding and responding to God's call is to be devoted to no one and to nothing above God himself. It's to have a passion for God that colors everything we do. And this is our primary calling as followers of Christ. It is a calling by him and to him. Now, we have a secondary calling, and that goes hand in hand with the first. And that secondary calling is to live entirely for him. So the first is primarily about passionate relationship, and the second is about how that works out in our daily life. Now, Jesus was asked by the teacher of the religious law which of the commandments were the most important. And we read that passage earlier. Remember, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And the second is equally important: Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. We're called first to love God, and then we're called to live completely for him. Over the centuries, a few distortions came into the way we understood God's call. The first one started about 300 years after Jesus' ascension, and a historian named Eusebius wrote that Christ gave two ways of life to his church. One was the perfect life, while the other was the permitted life. The perfect life was the spiritual life, a life dedicated to contemplation, to spiritual service, and it was a life for the religious professionals. The permitted life was ordinary activities like farming, building, raising a family. And this two-tiered way of looking at life became dominant in Christian thinking. And even too often today, we mistakenly view spiritual ministries as somehow superior to everyday work, to the ordinary activities of life. A second distortion, let's see if we're following. Yep, we are, good. A second distortion made the opposite mistake by elevating the secular at the expense of the spiritual. Now, whereas our secondary calling is to live entirely for God, we now too often leave God out of the picture entirely. It's as if we've removed the spiritual from the ordinary activities and conversations of life, as if church involvement or our devotions is the only spiritual thing we do. And then we struggle to find fulfillment in what we do because living for God has somehow become separate from what we do with the rest of the 90% of our lives. We are called to God, and we are called to live completely for him. That's the calling that can change you. It can change this church. It can change a community. It can change the world. When we're called by God and we follow him, it changes everything. I was at a church mission conference in Winnipeg with my family when I was about 6, and I heard the speaker talk about the many people in the world who still had not heard about Jesus, and that they really had no hope in this world or the next without him in their lives. And I realized that though I had heard about Jesus, I had never asked him to be my Savior. And that night, I invited Jesus to be my Savior, invited him into my heart, and I determined that I would become a missionary. Some might say that was my missionary call. It made an impact on my life that has never left. Some people feel a call like I did. But in truth, many Christians never experience the call of God in that way. And that's okay. Many believers cannot point to a specific time in their life when they received a call to be a missionary, or a farmer, or a pastor, or a salesman, or a nurse, or an electrician. So how do you know what God's call is on your life? And how can you respond to that call day after day? Well, here's a few things that we know about God's call. We've already mentioned two. First, God calls us to himself. He calls us to relationship. Here's a couple of verses that kind of highlight that. John 15, verse 15 says, "Now you are my friends." He's talking to his disciples. He's talking about relationship. And in John 17, verse 3, he says, "This is eternal life." And then he goes on to say, what is eternal life like? Well, it is to know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ, the one whom you have sent to earth. It's all about relationship. So God calls us to himself. Sam and Judy Paris, who are Interact missionaries to Sikhs in the greater Vancouver area, met Jazz Preet back in 1995. She was a newly married woman who had just arrived to join her husband in Canada. Though Jaspreet was shy and at first resisted friendship, Judy persevered and their relationship developed. Sam and Judy never pressured her to follow Jesus, but consistently loved her in his name, and they shared God's truth with her. Just after this last Christmas, that's December 2011, Jaspreet told Judy that she had prayed to ask God's forgiveness for her sins and that she had committed her life to him. It took 17 years, but Jaspreet responded to God's call to a relationship with him. Now, many of us have been believers for much more than 17 years. What is our commitment to passionate relationship with Jesus? Well, God calls us also to live for him in everything we do. And here's a few verses, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. All the while, give thanks to him through God the Father. And Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Interact missionaries have been involved in the Native Youth Conference since it began 19 years ago. And every spring, Native young people from across Western Canada gather together and they're challenged to follow Jesus. Jeff is a young man who has been attending NYC for the past 6 years. And he's heard the gospel many times. But he's resisted the reality that the good news of Jesus is for him. Jeff is a powwow dancer. In fact, he teaches powwow dancing. He's strongly committed to his people's traditional ways. On the very last night of NYC this past spring, a call for commitment was made. And Jeff watched as 55-year-old Bob made his way to the front and took the mic. This chaperone with First Nations style braids took the mic and talked about how God was calling him not only to believe, but also to live for him. Jeff had always admired Bob's commitment to Native culture, and he was struck by Bob's statement. And that was the turning point for him. Jeff walked to the front, he stood beside Bob, and he publicly told the 300-plus young people and chaperones that were there that he would not only believe, he would also live for God. Both Jeff and Bob are back in their home communities, and the journey of a walk with God has begun. They're learning from the Word. They're growing as disciples day by day, choosing to live for God. Well, a third thing we know from Scripture is that God has a special purpose for each of us. We may not know exactly what that purpose is, but God has something in mind for each of us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." As you think about God's plan for your life, consider how incredible God is at putting details together. Dave and Alice DeHaan served as missionaries in Turkey for about 7 years back in the late 80s, early 90s. So just as we were going out, they were just finishing their 7 years. They moved to Alberta and actually started a couple of churches in southern Alberta, one right in the heart of Mormon territory. When they retired from pastorate, they asked Interact if it would be okay if they did outreach to Muslims in Edmonton. And of course we said, that'd be wonderful. David Ellis recently wrote of an encounter they had. It's actually a relationship that they've been building for a while with Mustafa and Amina, a Turkish Muslim couple. They had, in their course of their relationship, read through all four of the Gospels together and had begun to really make an impact in this Turkish couple. And after the Gospels, they chose to read Revelation. Now, I'm not sure how many of you would jump to Revelation after reading the Gospels, but that's what they decided to do. And you remember, close to the beginning of Revelation, there's those chapters where there's those letters to the seven churches in Asia. Well, those churches are all towns, cities now in Turkey. So here they are reading these chapters together. And Mustafa and Amina have a home and two businesses in Smyrna. And two of their daughters still live there. They had another business in Pergamum. And to get there, they had to pass through Thyatira. Both were born in the town of Sardis. Many of Amina's relatives lived near Laodicea, so they used to drive from Smyrna through Sardis and Philadelphia to get there. They've been to Ephesus numerous times, but that's not one of their normal destinations. But this message to the seven churches of Asia has had a profound impact on them. They're not believers yet. But God has put Dave and Alice, who speak Turkish, into their lives on purpose. What is God doing in your life? Who is He putting you next to? Well, a fourth thing we know is that God places a desire in our hearts to do the things He calls us to do. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." In Philippians 2, verse 13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him." I don't know how well you can see that picture. 8 years ago, Yakuti Christians introduced a fanzine to the Lord. The Yakuti people live in the northeast part of Siberia. And these Christians helped a fanzine to grow spiritually. And they encouraged him to follow his dream of starting a church in his own hometown. And so that's what he did. Moved back home. They began meeting and inviting their friends over to his mom's house. After a while, the town gave them a piece of land. Believers from nearby communities came together both to help build and to pay for this new church. The writing on the wall says, God is love. God gave Afanzi a dream, and he provided what was needed to see that dream come to reality. God places a desire in our hearts to do the things that he calls us to do, and he makes it possible for us to do that. That kind of leads right into number 5. God will equip us to do what he calls us to do. He says in Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need." And Hebrews 13:20, "And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing his will." My journey following God's call has not always been easy or straightforward. But looking back, I can recognize life lessons that have equipped me for the next stage in my journey. Growing up in a Christian home, regular involvement with a church, study of God's Word at Bible school, they gave me an excellent foundation. But they didn't prepare me or get me ready to become an administrator for a missionary organization. So here are a few things that God did along the way to prepare me for my ministry. My job title is Canada Field Administrator. It's a big, long title, which means I work in an office. Okay. Yeah, I do more than that. So here's what happened. After Bible college, God gave me work as a cabinet installer. And that experience taught me the value of accuracy. Installing cabinets had more to do with making sure the cabinets and the doors were level and the miters on the trim were neat and pretty and that it looked nice when you're done. Those years taught me how to appreciate precision. And that's something I definitely need for my work right now. As I do the books or as I do payroll, people like to know that they're getting paid what they need to be getting paid. And when you hand in the financial statements, it's nice when the numbers are what they're supposed to do, are supposed to be. Also, looking back, much of our past ministry has been reaching out to Muslims or helping Christians understand Islam so they too can reach out to Muslims. And a lot of that took a lot of learning. I have no clue how many books I read on Islam or on sharing Christ with Muslims. But reading those books has seldom seemed a chore to me. After we moved to Calgary, I was able to finish my degree. I very much enjoyed that as well. God has given me a love of learning, which is a good thing because I've had to learn a lot since taking on the role of administrator. God worked things at the office, so our part-time bookkeeper was able to stay on and teach me the financial systems for about 6 months. I was able to complete a certificate in accounting applications, doing all the study and work at home and just going to the college for the exams. And that whole process taught me a lot about the principles of accounting and how to better use the computer software that we have in the office. And since I'm responsible not only for the financial matters, but also for legal and technology things, I continue to have to learn quite a lot often. But I love learning. Another way God equipped me is through spiritual gifts. I remember taking some tests on spiritual gifts when I was at Nipawin Bible Institute. And evidently, one of the gifts that I had was teaching. And over the years, I've been involved in a whole variety of teaching opportunities, whether it's one-on-one discipleship or small group or even classroom teaching. And I'm not great at giving lectures, but I really enjoy the interaction that you have with people who are also learning together with you. In the fall of 2000, I was leading a small group through a study on spiritual gifts. And towards the end of that study, we all did some tests to kind of point us in the right direction. We did a test on ourselves to kind of identify what we thought our gifts might be. And we had a friend who knew us well do the same kind of set of questions so that we had another perspective on some things that might be what we could look at as our spiritual gifts. And I was rather shocked when the results of both those tests, administration came out right on top. I had never considered it, never at all. And as I started thinking back on the ministries I'd been involved in, I realized that actually I often had done the administrative work. In Belgium, we had a Christian studies center for Muslims. Well, I'm the one who coordinated the schedule for volunteers and made sure everything was happening when it should be. In Calgary, I was the one who organized the address lists, stuffing parties, and when we were mailing letters to Muslim homes, I did a lot of that background work. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that God not only had given me the ability to do administrative type of work, but he also gave me a lot of joy in carrying out those tasks. Well, God also prepared me for my current ministry through my experience as a missionary. Believe it or not, there can be quite a gulf between office staff of a mission agency and your missionaries out on the front line. The person who taught me the financial systems at Interact loves the Lord. I think she's a godly woman. But Shalene had never been a missionary. She'd never gone through the process of raising a prayer and financial support team and then fully depending on those prayers and gifts of money. She had never experienced leaving her home to learn a new culture, a new language, then having her children being born far away from family. She was involved in her church, but never had the experience of working at growing a church where there were few believers. She wasn't shy about her faith, but she had no idea about the different worldviews of Muslims, of Sikhs, of our First Nations peoples in Canada. And so God has given me a set of experiences which helped me relate to our missionary family in ways that she just wasn't able to. Every week I get phone calls from our missionaries. Sometimes they're just looking for information, while at other times they're calling to get someone to help them think through a difficult situation. And I respond as best as I can, and then almost blush as the caller tells me how much I helped them. Missionary life has been difficult for us at times. But God has used all those experiences to equip me to do what he has called me to do. You and I are first called to relationship with God. And then we're called to live for him. Love God with all your hearts. Live for God in all you do. That's responding to God's call in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have made possible, through Jesus Christ our Lord, a restored relationship with you. Thank you for the way that you have blessed us in so many ways, physically, materially, spiritually. Father, we can't even count all our blessings. But Lord, what an opportunity to return our love to you by loving others, by sharing those blessings with others, by following you in obedience day by day, to live for you, to love for you, to love others. Lord, it is a joy, it is an honor, it is a privilege to be your child, to be someone you call your friend. Thank you so much for for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.